He may be seated.
Good morning, saints. Let's open the Word of God together in the book of Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. That's where we're landing today. That's the text for this morning. We're looking at this passage. The topic is understanding the wisdom of God. That's what we're going to be looking at. We have heard it today in our service and been encouraged through the Word of God, through just the sharing in today, the importance of God's wisdom in our life, of God's word in our life. And so we're going to be looking at here, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to take the whole text here, verse 6 through 16. I want to remind you, last week in our previous passage that we were looking at, what we talked about last week was the goal was from God's word, from God's the scriptures that we studied, the goal was for the church family to rally around what God says about who he is, why we're here, who we are, and the purpose of our salvation, the purpose of his church. We talked about that last week. The goal was for us to rally around that, for us to be united around that. We don't want to be united around man's opinion of what all this is about, but are united around God's wisdom, God's truth on that subject. And that's what we looked at last week. So simply what we're going to carry on with that, where Paul goes here, where God goes here, the goal for us today in this passage is to answer the question, so how do we understand the wisdom of God? If we can't rely on human wisdom, if we can't rely on human reasoning, human philosophies, for the reasons about the purpose of why we're here, the way of life, why we're to live, what we're to live, and who God is, we can't rely on our human philosophies, human reasonings on that. We need to rely on the wisdom of God. So how are we going to understand God's ways, God's wisdom? That's what he's going to bring out here. That's what he's talking to the church about. So he's talking to us about that today. How do we get to true wisdom? How do we get to the true knowledge and the true facts that lead us to make the best choice for the best possible outcome? How do we get there? That's what Paul is encouraging this church to see and for us to see today. So we're going to answer that question. That's our goal today. Well, you know, for us, if I asked you that, I'm sure I could get a lot of feedback. We shared about it today, but you guys would say, for us today, for Christianity, for us, it's in a book, right? It's in one book, right? It's in this book right here. Here's the wisdom of God, the Word of God. It's only one book. It's the Bible. Here God gives divine revelation, revealing to all of us that are his, all that he is, all that Christ is, all that we are, and all the ways that the ways of life God has for us. God's wisdom. We shared about it in the opening of the service today. The ways of God, the truth of God, the revelation of God, who God is, who we are, and the way we're to live, it's right here in one book. Okay, that's the message. Let's go home. Ready? Early lunch. Paul is speaking to a church. He's speaking to us. It's not that simple, not that easy right now for the Corinthian church. They're a little different, things going on there. Remember, it's 54, 55 AD, barely 5 years into any Christianity. Only Galatians, James, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are written, and 1st Corinthians is written. There was a letter written to the Corinthians before this. It didn't make the canon of Scripture, but 1st Corinthians is written. They don't really have any of those. They have this. Now, yes, Paul walked with them and lived with them for 18 months. He ministered to them, and yes, the Old Testament is there. But let me help you with something here. This is Corinth. This is a place where there's all kinds of people from all different walks of life, and they're coming to Christ. They don't know what the Old Testament is. They don't know that there's a Bible. And Paul has his start from there. This is important. This is beginning Christianity. It's important for us to recognize that. Let me share with you something else. They have the gift of tongues there. Now, we're going to teach on that when we get to chapter 12 through 14, and that's no longer in the church, body of Christ, that kind of thing. But the gift of tongues is going on in the beginning of the church. The gift of languages. Let me share with you what it is. Remember, I told you Corinth is a hub. It's where all the traffic of all the ships are going and merchandise go by. There's 30, 40, 50 different languages when people come in. So in Corinth, some people get saved. There's 50 in the church. I'm paraphrasing here, making it a little shorter. In the body of Christ, there they are. And then somebody comes to church that day that speaks Swahili. Okay, now, this guy in church stands up and gives the truth of Christ in Swahili. This guy doesn't know Swahili. the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, the gift of languages, to stand up. Over here, this guy stands up and interprets the Swahili, that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's the answer to life, that he is the truth, the way, and the life, and that salvation is only found in him. And the guy that came in gives his life to Christ. That's what the gift is. It's incredible, the early church, what God is doing in that. They have the gift of healing. They have the gift of prophecy. They have the gift of standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. This is what God's word is. Ephesians 4:29, I'll use this a lot. Let no unwholesome word proceedeth out of your mouth that's not for edification, that for the need of the moment, to build up the brother in Christ. Somebody stood up in church, Corinthian church, and said, hey, this is how God wants us to communicate, and said that and wasn't written yet. Now, you got to think with me for a moment. I'm not trying to get out there where we're like that, but that's what's going on, and Paul's addressing it. They're way out of order. They're so prideful, so arrogant. They got lots of things going on, but that's what's going on. So Paul's going to write to them. You can see that this is the early stage of Christianity. So what does Paul write? Well, he writes what we know, that the wisdom and the truth of God and the ways of God are in God's word. But the canon of Scripture, the New Testament, isn't written yet. So this is the beginning of this. This is the beginning of us understanding that the wisdom of God is in the Word of God, is in the Bible, it's in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit affirms that. This is what's going on here. And this is so foundational to our Christianity, so foundational to us living for the Lord. It's going to be very foundational for us. So he writes this. Look at the text with me. Look what he writes. He writes this. Now remember the goal in human wisdom and human reasoning is not the way to God's wisdom, to God's truth. So how are we going to understand the wisdom of God? Here's this church in the dynamic that they are in ours. Paul writes this. Yet we do not speak a wisdom among those who are mature. Or we do speak a wisdom of those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, a hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom that which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things eye has not seen or ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And then listen to what he says. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who knows the mind, for who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, listen to this, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit of God. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, put it this way, interpreting spiritual thoughts in spiritual words. Here they are. That's what Paul's talking about. They're writing the Scriptures. It's incredible to think about it in that manner. They're writing the Word of God. Paul here in 1 Corinthians wrote the Word of God to the Corinthians. They're learning it. Now look at it with me. How do we understand it? Look at verse 6. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yes, let me get that right, okay? My eyes are crossed up here, I don't know. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet there means, having said this, even though I said what I just said, what did he just say? We have to understand that because that's what's going on here. He said, having said this, we do speak a wisdom among those who are mature. Having said what? Look at you, the verse 4, he said this. Hey, I didn't come in pervasive words of human wisdom, but I came in a demonstration of the Spirit and his power. I shared Christ, the truth of Christ, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. That's what he's talking about. We don't want our faith to rest in human wisdom. We want it to rest in God's wisdom and God's truth, the power of God, which is synonymous with the wisdom of God, which is synonymous with the Word of God, as we would learn and grow in that. Yet having said this, he said, we do speak a wisdom among those who are mature. Now, he's talking about we teach true wisdom. Now, the we in the text, some people would say, is the apostles and the writers of Scriptures. You know, the commentaries kind of go back and forth and sharing. But the we in this, for us, we would totally recognize now, the we is us. See, we teach a true wisdom. We teach, we counsel, we encourage, we sing, we help each other through the scriptures. Back then, maybe not many of them. Like I said, some would say it's the apostles and writers of scriptures now, but today, it's us. We teach true wisdom. We encourage with true wisdom. We counsel with true wisdom. We don't have human reasonings that are the answer to life. We go to God's word, God's scripture. He's teaching them among those who are mature. Now, people would say, or not people, but sometimes you would think of that when mature, okay, grown up, or they've moved along with the Lord in something. But that word is teleos in the Greek, and to be mature, perfect, or complete. And what Paul is talking about is we teach true wisdom. We teach the wisdom of God that God wants us to understand among those who are complete. Colossians 2:10 says it this way, that in Christ all believers have been made complete. That's who he's talking about. 1 Corinthians, remember what he said? We teach true wisdom among those who have been sanctified in Christ, among those who are saints by calling, among those who call on the character of Christ, on those who are enriched in everything in Christ, that are gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve, that it will be confirmed to the end by the Lord Jesus Christ, who are in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Hey, we teach wisdom to that, the true wisdom of God. So it's the believers that have trusted and put their faith in Christ, and God has acted upon their life, sanctified them, enriched them in Jesus Christ, put them into fellowship with God. He will confirm them to the end, and they've been gifted by the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, indwelling in us to serve God's purpose. That's who you teach true wisdom to, because that's who you are when you're saved. That's what God did in your salvation. The transformation took place. That's who you are. That's who you teach the true wisdom of God, the wisdom that God is in God's word. That's who you teach it to. Anybody else you share Christ with. Because until they come to Christ, they can't know that true wisdom. Because they're not sanctified. They're not saints by calling. They haven't received everything in Christ. They're not in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see where Paul's going here? That's setting it up for us, for we understand we teach true wisdom to those that have their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that God has worked in. We look at 6a again. He says, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of rulers of this age who are passing away. Let me tell you what he's saying there. It's not of any wisdom of any age, of any ruler. That's what he's saying. It's not of any wisdom, human wisdom, of any age, of any ruler. Not human wisdom of 55 AD, not human wisdom of 1055 AD, not wisdom of 2014 AD. It is not the world's wisdom now. It is not the world's culture or understanding. Man will never come to discover and be lifted high up, even as intelligent as our people are in this world apart from Christ. We don't teach what they say is true about God. We don't teach. We teach God's word. So what true wisdom is that he teaches? Look at the text with me. Let's move along quickly here. Here, he tells us what the true wisdom we teach. Listen to what he says. Here's the true wisdom, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom that none of the rulers of this age or any age has understood. You know what? If they would have understood it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. We teach the wisdom of God that God brought by revelation when Jesus Christ came here. And those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we teach the wisdom of how God transformed your life, how God changed your life, how he brought us into the kingdom of God, how he works in our life. We're dwelt by the Holy Spirit to guide the true wisdom of God. That's what God prepared hand before the foundation of the world to all that would come to faith in Christ, which no eye has ever seen, which no ear has ever heard, until Christ came and revealed it and opened up people's heart to the gospel, and then they put their faith in Christ. Then God shows them what God prepared for those that love him. Isn't that incredible? That's what he's talking about. That's what we teach as a church, as a body of Christ, as a family of God. We teach the truth of Jesus Christ, all of him, which was hidden by God until God revealed it in the coming of Christ. Nobody ever saw it before. Not just the gospel truth, the life and death and resurrection of Christ, not just through faith in Christ you can be saved from your sin, reconciled back to God, but also the richness of your salvation. That's the wisdom of God. That's the word of God. The new life in him and all that he is. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Look at chapter 3. Let's look at verse 4 and kind of just walk around in this a little bit. This is the truth of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, of all that has come to us in our salvation. Look at with me in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Here's what Paul's teaching. I'm just going to hit on this lightly, okay? Because, if what we teach is Jesus Christ and the life that we've gotten from our faith in Christ and all that God has brought us and all that he has changed our life, we teach the wisdom of all of that in our life. Well, then I could teach the whole New Testament, couldn't I? But look at chapter 3, verse 4. That's what Paul's referring to. He says, but by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight in the mystery of Christ. When you read chapter 1, 2 of Ephesians, he says, you can understand, you can read, you can see my insight into the mystery of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what it would end up being. Listen to what he says, verse 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, and has now been revealed to the holy apostles and the prophets in the Spirit that wrote the Scriptures. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Well, that's what we teach. That's what we proclaim in the church. That's what we teach each other in the church, all that God has brought us in our salvation and how he wants us to live our life in our new life in Christ and how we walk with him and how we love him and he encourages us and how he speaks to our heart through the word and how he transforms our life and how he teaches us. Look at chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. We teach this in the body of Christ. This is the wisdom of God, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we are dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You know what we teach? We've been made alive together with Christ. That our life is in union with Christ. I no longer walk by myself. I don't live this life by myself. When I put my life into Christ, when I trusted in the Lord, he came, he transformed my life, gave me a new life in Christ. Place the Spirit of God in my life, which in Colossians 1:26 and 1:27, Paul says is the great mystery that we proclaim and teach is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we do as a church. We teach all of that, what that means, the wisdom of God in our life. Everything in the Scriptures of the New Testament is the effect, the way, the truth of your salvation in Christ. You know that? Everything in the New Testament. Who God is, who you are, the gospel for people to get saved, and then the effect, the way, and the truth of your salvation in Christ. That's what we teach. And it's pointed to, shadowed in the old. It's incredible. It's all that God prepared for those that love him. Verse 9, no eye has seen it, nor ear has heard it. Many would say that he's talking about heaven there. It would include heaven, but Paul is writing about right there in the moment, right now. Paul was talking about this life. Who knew that Christ would bring salvation that would put you in him, where that your life would be totally guarded by God, totally loved by God, never could leave you, forsake you, and when Christ returns, you will share in the glory of Christ, Colossians 3. That's not in the Old Testament. That's not there. Who knew that when you became to Christ, you became heirs of God, inheritors of God, inheritors with Christ, and you will inherit everything that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Romans 8, 16 and 17. Who knew that? And that when he's revealed in glory, God will reveal us in glory. These are all the things we're learning is the wisdom of now this early church. They're not understanding that. Who could know? Before Christ came in salvation, who could know 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4? Don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. This is the wisdom of God that we teach, that in our salvation, seeing that his, Jesus Christ, his God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called us by his own calling and excellence for excuse me, by these he has granted to us, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. It'd take me 2 weeks to teach on that. But did you hear what he said? He said, through your knowledge of Christ, that the Holy Spirit has opened you up to see the truth of Christ and knowing Christ and your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if that you put your faith in who he is, by God's divine power, he granted you everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have everything pertaining to living this life in godliness. You have the Word of God to shape you on how you live the life in godliness. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you to guide and lead you in it. And you have the new life that can understand what God's saying. That's what we teach. And that by the promises of God, you have been rescued from the corruption that's in this world by its lust. Because Jesus rescued from it, delivered you from it. You have the divine nature. That's in your new life in Christ. That's incredible to think about what he's talking about. That's in the Word of God. That's what Paul is getting to here. That's what we are getting to here. We teach true wisdom. We teach the true wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and what faith in him has done to our life and our living. That's what he's talking about. Which is all that God prepared beforehand for us now and all the way through heaven. And you know what? It cannot be humanly discovered. Look at verse 8 back in 1 Corinthians. It can't be humanly discovered. Humans don't discover it. We've talked about this a couple of weeks, but look what he said in verse 8. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they'd understood it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Listen, human discovery ain't going to find it. You know what human discovery does? It kills the Savior. That's what human reasoning does. That's what human wisdom does. Says, I don't need a Savior. I don't need to be rescued. I don't need to be delivered. I don't need a new life. I don't need a Lord to guide my life. I don't need the Word of God to shape and conform the way I live. You don't discover the true wisdom of God. Why? Because the true wisdom of God, listen to this, is divinely revealed. It's divinely revealed. Human reasoning won't see it. It will kill the Savior because the true wisdom is divinely revealed. God has to reveal it to you, to us, by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13 or verse 10. This is what Paul is saying. This is what God is saying to us. This is what God wants us in the Word to understand from his Word on how we understand the true wisdom of God. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And when you came to the faith in Christ, when you trusted in the Lord, the Spirit opened your heart up to the truth of Christ. And when you came to faith and was born again, regenerated, you became indwelt by this Spirit of God who knows all the mind of God. And he's revealing to you what God has said and what he desires in your life. It's revelation. He's revealing to the believers how God wants us to live and breathe and how we're to live our life. Listen, when Jesus was talking to those that put their faith in them in Matthew 13:11, he said, to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You guys, look at me for a second. If you have faith in Christ and you're saved, it has been granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's been granted to us to know the truth, the mind of God, the truth of God, the way we're to live our life. It's what God has done in our life, to live it. You remember in Matthew 16 when Jesus asked the disciples, hey, who do you guys say I am? You remember what Peter replied? Anybody help me? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Anybody remember what Jesus said? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Human discovery doesn't get the truth of Christ. The Spirit. God showed that to you. Listen, God is wanting to speak and show and guide and lead through the Holy Spirit the truth of Him, the truth of God, why we're here, what we're to do, what God is doing in this world, who God is, who we are, what are the purposes and meanings for the things that are in our life, what the purpose of the church, all of that, by His Spirit is revealing that to us through His Word. This is closed. The Spirit only speaks what's in here. Now, like I said back then, this is the beginning here. Listen, God is speaking. The indwelling Holy Spirit is working to show you, to reveal to you God's truth, God's wisdom through His Word. He's telling them that. And it goes way beyond human reasoning. It has great depth. You guys know Romans 11, don't you? At the end of Romans 11, this is incredible what Paul says here. At the end of Romans 11, 33, he says this, "Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways." I got that out. That was good, Ken. Now listen, what's in Romans chapter 1 through chapter 11 in Romans? Paul just wrote it all down. Paul just said, all right, I'm writing it to the church. The church is going to be able to understand what I wrote down. All this is the state of man, the heart of man, the salvation of God, the rejection of God, justification by faith alone, the sanctification that comes in God, that there's no condemnation in Christ, the work of sanctification in the life of the believer, the glory that awaits us, the sovereignty and providence of God at work since the beginning of time, the purpose and plan for the people of Israel that isn't even finished yet, to name a few. And then Paul says, oh, the depths and the riches of the wisdom of God, who can know it? He just wrote it. The Holy Spirit teaches you what all it has to say. You know the depth and the riches of the wisdom of God, the unsearchable judgments and unfathomable ways of God. Who can know the mind of the Lord? Those that are the Lord's. That is absolutely incredible. That's what he's trying to get him to do, and we can learn it through the Word of God. Because the indwelling Holy Spirit is our teacher. Look at 1 Corinthians verse 12. Chapter 2, this is what Paul says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, indwelling in my life every second that I am here, who is from God, so that we, that's us, may know the things freely given to us by God. What an incredible statement. What the Holy Spirit wants to teach you and me and us is the knowledge and the facts, the truth of who God is, of who we are in our salvation, and who we are in Christ, and to teach us the choices that we would make to honor God. That's what He wants to do. That's what He's there to do. Turn your Bibles to John 16, the Gospel of John. And I know I'm kind of breezing through, kind of moving along through this, but this is important. This is a big picture look here, what Paul is teaching here. Look what Jesus said when he was teaching his disciples about what we're talking about. I think I read you the wrong verse in there, but I'm okay. John 16, verse 12 and following. Listen to what Jesus said while we're here. On that the truth teacher is in our life. Jesus said, verse 12, I have many more things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to leave. He said, I got many more things I want to teach you. You can't handle them yet. You can't handle the truth yet. You can't handle all that's going on. That's going to go on. What God's going to do. How in the world could they handle 2 Peter 1:3? Right then, that by His divine power, He's going to grant to you everything pertaining to life and godliness into true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and His magnificent promises. You're going to escape the corruption of the world. You're going to become partakers of God's divine nature. I think they would have fell over, don't you? He said, but I can't tell you everything. But listen to what He says. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. And He will glorify me, Jesus Christ, for He will take what is mine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will disclose it to you. Listen, The Holy Spirit wants to teach wisdom to us, teach us the knowledge and facts of God, the truths of God, the truth of who he is, to who we are in Christ, to what we received in our salvation. And he's going to, the Holy Spirit, teach us the choices that we would make to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, to display the character and nature of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's desire. Remember what I told you 2 weeks ago? Wisdom, this is what wisdom is taking the facts and knowledge you have and making the best choice possible for the best outcome. God has already decided for his church, for the body of Christ, for you and me, that those that are his, what the best possible outcome is. He's already decided it. What is it? It's to glorify him. It's to worship him regardless of whatever's in this life. It's to build up the body of Christ, to comfort, to care, to nourish, to help, to grow our relationships in the Lord. Pastor Tom, right? All the one another's you're teaching. That is God's divine will. That is the best outcome that God has in our life, that we would live a life that would build up each other in Christ, that we would live the one another's, that we'd encourage each other to walk in the Lord, that we would walk with each other to love the Lord, that we would admonish when we're unruly, all the things that are in the Bible, and that we would win the lost, that we would shine the light of the glory of God in the face of the lost, that we would share Jesus Christ. This life, that is God's best possible outcome for you and me. We don't make the decision what the best possible outcome here is. God has in his word, God by the indwelling Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you the knowledge, the truth, and even the choices for me and you to make for that outcome. That's what he's doing here. And when you make the outcome, I need my life to be a certain thing here in this world, I'm going to study God's word so I can get the outcome of this world that I want. You're thinking like the Corinthian church. Because the purpose of God's church, the church is God's idea. Me and you saved, gathering together, being in this world is God's idea, not ours. And he declares in his word, the purpose is for us to give all glory to him, that we would share or shine the character of God as we live this life, and that we would encourage and build up the other believers in this world, in this life, to walk with the Lord, that we would be a light of Christ and win people to Christ. That's the outcome that God has his church in this world for. When Christ returns, then we'll be glorified with him in his glory. See what Paul's teaching here? And we have the indwelling Holy Spirit using God's word, speaking to us what we have in him. This isn't everything we do. This is how we raise our children. This is how we share Christ with our neighbor. This is how we love our wife. Why does God tell us to love our wife like Christ loved the church? Because the will of God is for us husbands to love our wife like Christ loved the church, because it shares the nature and character of God in love. It gives glory to God, and it's a light of what Christ does in salvation. It wasn't for us, it was for him. It always has been. It's always been for him. It's always been about him. We just get to participate in the most greatest thing that ever happened in creation outside of eternal life in heaven. The salvation of Jesus Christ and what it looks like in a life. And that God would use you and use me, that you would just live this life for the Lord, that somebody would come along and you'd just tell them, you know, well, I just live this way because Jesus rescued me and saved me and his truth is real, and God uses that to open up a heart, somebody comes to Christ. How do we understand the true knowledge of God? It's in his word, isn't it? We talk about it all the time, but that's what Paul shares here. Look at it, look what he says in the next verse. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The word combining can be interpreting, and spiritual there, thoughts can be spiritual precepts in spiritual words, spiritual thoughts with spiritual. What Paul is saying here, it's what we teach. And what God at this moment is writing down. It's the scriptures, the Bible, the things that we're speaking, teaching, they're writing down at this time, and they're being taught by the Spirit of God, combining, interpreting spiritual things, spiritual words. 2 Timothy 3:16. That wasn't written yet. I don't, you guys know when Paul was writing this and teaching that. But none of the Gospels were written. And Romans wasn't written. And Luke, and Acts. And 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And Revelation. And Timothy and 2 Timothy. Those aren't written yet. And Paul is teaching here. This is foundational to us understanding that from the beginning it was based upon the Word of God, even when it wasn't even finished. That's such an incredible thing that all Scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all the writings in the Bible, that's what Scripture means, are God-breathed, and they're profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Listen to this. So the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, you guys ought to be able to regurgitate to me, what is the good work that God has us here for? It should be on the tip of your tongue. It should be in your heart. It's the purpose of why we're here, to glorify God, to build up the body of Christ, and to win the lost. And he just said there that he's given you the Word of God for teaching, to reproof us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness and what God requires, so that the man of God, the people of God, that we would be adequately equipped to win the lost, to build up the body of Christ as we glorify God. You could write it right in there, because that's what the Word of God declares. That's what he's teaching here. That's what we want to know. It's not just the concepts, the precepts, or the principles of God's word. It's every single word is God-breathed. Matthew 4:4 says that. Jesus said we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is every word. Now, I know some of this, all of this is in our heart and mind, but this is where this comes from, which Paul says in verse 14, back in 1 Corinthians, the natural man cannot understand these things. He cannot accept these things. He cannot understand these things. Let me read the scripture. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. He just said an unsaved person, the person that hasn't been born again, isn't going to understand any of these things. Jesus said in John 8:43 to those that were rejecting him, why do you not understand what I'm saying? Why don't you understand my words? And then he answers it for himself. It is because you cannot hear my word. If you're born again and the Holy Spirit's in your life, you got it if you're born again, if you're saved. You hear his word. And until God opens up your heart to it, you don't hear it. We've been talking about this. But look at verse 15 and 16. He says this. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Spiritual means this, and we'll cover it more next week. Those indwelt by the Holy Spirit and governed and controlled and dominated and led by the Holy Spirit. You know, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but some of us aren't governed by it. We're still governed by the flesh. But the ones that are governed by the Spirit of God, that they're submitting to him, they're the ones who can discern the truth of God's word. That's what he just said. Jesus said in John 17:7, anyone willing to do God's will, meaning that they will live for God's desire, God's wants, God's will, he will know the teachings, whether it is from God or man. You know, if you're struggling in your heart to live for God's will, and you're just not going to live for God's will and what God wants, and you're just going to work to live what I want, you know, sometimes we all go there, right? Can I get an amen there? And our flesh gets in the way. Guess what? It really hurts. You're understanding really what God's saying. You ever been there? I've justified yelling at my wife and saying God said I could when I was in the flesh. I'm never allowed to yell at my wife unless she's in danger, right? And that's what happens, and that's what he's talking about. This church is somewhat out of order, and they're running after their flesh, and they're having trouble discerning what God wants because they're after the flesh. But listen to what he says. But for all of us, we have the mind of Christ, which means we have the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ. We have the truth of Christ, which means those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit who resides in us, he has all the understanding of what Christ would say on anything. And so every believer has the mind of Christ. And what is he going to say? the words that Christ would want us to know, and here it is. Now, I can't go into that very much, but I'll pick that up next week. So let's conclude. How do we understand the wisdom of God? How do we understand the wisdom of God? Let's keep it simple. Pastors, teachers, counselors, all of us, teach it. That's how we're going to understand it. Don't teach our opinions. Don't teach our human wisdom. We teach what God says on everything. That's what we do. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you in all wisdom. All of us are to read it, to learn it, to study it, to memorize it, to give yourself to study. This is how we understand the wisdom of God. This is how we come to understand the truth of God and why we're here and what we're here for. We look in God's word, we study God's word, we apply it in our life, we give ourselves to study, and listen to this, we submit ourselves to the indwelling Holy Spirit, our truth teacher. We submit to Him speaking to our life. We pray for God to show us, to guide us, to lead us on what God's word says and how it applies. Psalm 119:18. I wrote that one down, Scott. Open my eyes so I may see the wonderful things of your law, O Lord. Or verse 33 and 34. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Give me understanding that I may observe your law. Paul said, be controlled, be dominated, be led by the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5. So how do we understand the wisdom of God? You're a part of a body of Christ that teaches it. That teaches His truth, His word. We're to let the word richly dwell within us. We're submitting to the Holy Spirit for Him to guide and lead us. And then we apply what He teaches. We follow Christ. We do what God's word leads us to do. We obey the truth. We deal with our heart. We address our attitudes. We love others. We seek give forgiveness. Whatever the word of God is speaking to our lives. Paul would say that in Galatians 5:16 is that we walk by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is going to teach you what God says and says, hey, Ken, this is what God's principle here. He wants you to love this person in this, but love them in truth. Well, when I obey it, I'm walking by the Spirit of God, and when the fruit is love, joy, peace, the things that God wants in my life to represent Him. So we walk by the Spirit, and as you do that, listen to this for a minute. Let me close with this, and then we'll close. As you study God's word, as you go to God and ask Him to show you, to reveal to you the truth, as you obey that truth, as you do that, God will transform your living. He'll conform your life around the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll change the way you live. You'll go down in life and that attitude will be gone. You'll keep going on and you'll love in a different way. You'll keep going on. You'll be more and more like Christ. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's absolutely incredible. And I'm sure we could give a lot of testimonies to that here. We'll close with this. This is what Jesus said very simply, the same truth that Paul just went through here and what I've shared today. He said it in John 8:31 through 32. Speaking to believers that had heard the words of Jesus about Himself and had believed in Him. Jesus said this, if you continue in my word, continue means to obey, to apply, to learn, and to continually seek to grow. He says, if you do that in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's the journey that we're on. Free from selfishness, free from self-focus, free from self-gratification, free from living for self, free from to understand the truth of God and why we're here and what we're to do. You want to hear something really great as I was going through this? That's who we are. That's what we rally around here. No, we're not perfect. We all look in the mirror. We know we're not perfect, right? And good amen time right there. But that's what God has done here. The three things that Paul has taught in the beginning here is that you need to come together and agree and speak the same foundational truths and agree on those and speak one thing. And that you need to rally around and be united around God's wisdom, God's truth, God's word on why we're here. And then you need to rally around on how you understand it, His word. that's what he's done here. Like I said, not perfect. But we belong to a part of a church that God has worked out what he's working out in Corinthians right now. That's incredible. Isn't that good? Let's close in prayer.